Welcome to the Kevin Hilly Podcast, just a sample of what he does each morning on 101.9 The Wave. Now, here's Kevin.
Well, it's happening Friday, December 14th, 6 p.m. at the Lodge at Port Arrowhead, Christmas with the Nelsons, starring Matthew and Gunnar Nelson. Going to be a great show, and we're thrilled this morning to welcome Gunnar Nelson himself. How are you, Gunnar?
Man, I'm doing great. Kevin, thank you so much for having me on your show, and Merry Christmas to all the listeners out there.
And Merry Christmas to you, too. You guys have actually done, a couple of Christmas albums, right?
We did. We actually did. They're a two-parter, and they're both called This Christmas. It's This Christmas 1, This Christmas 2. And both of those records actually had a single on it called This Christmas, recorded differently, and both of them charted in the top five in the Billboard Hot 100. The first year, we actually did it with our co-writer. The second year, a couple years ago, we did it with Carney and Wendy Wilson, our friends in Wilson Phillips, and released that video and stuff and had a lot of success with it as well.
Oh, that must have been great working with Carney and Wendy. That's fantastic.
Oh, they're cool, man. They're really good kids, and we've known them forever. We actually took swimming lessons with those girls when we were toddlers.
Did you really?
Oh, we did, yeah. You know, it's funny. We'd never gotten a chance to work with them until that point. And Matthew and I presented them with their very first American Music Award back in the day. We released our first records the same year. They had their first Wilson Phillips record called Hold On. We had After Rain.
Yeah.
And we were all doing the same, you know, the same radio boogie all over the country and doing our promo and all that stuff. And we never got a chance to actually sing together until doing this Christmas single together. It was a lot of fun doing it. It was kind of like done as a double duet. And honestly, our model for it was kind of like a modern Mamas and the Papas thing. But it worked out great.
I was talking yesterday about, you know, when artists do Christmas albums and, you know, sometimes, you know, they're in a studio, it's like June or July or whatever, and they're recording these things. How do you get in the Christmas spirit in that situation?
Well, it's kind of the theater of the mind sort of thing. When you're writing songs, I try to explain to my wife, because she wants to know, like, how you do that. There are two ways to write a song. One is from experience, and the other is you got to ask yourself the what if question. Like, what if this were to happen to me? Because no one really, you know, if you write a lot of songs, no one's got that much life experience. You know, they'd go crazy.
Right.
And after doing that exercise, the what if game for 30 years writing songs, man, when you're sitting there with your buddies in Nashville, Tennessee, it's 104 degrees out and 100% humidity, and
right,
you're drinking margaritas, you know, you actually
Christmas.
Can get in the headspace of it being snow all around and 10 below and you're all bundled up. It was really a great exercise and a lot of fun to do. I'm not saying it wasn't challenging, because it was. But the way we approached that single was in writing basically a love song where the setting was Christmas Eve.
Mm.
We wrote it about two best friends that realized on Christmas Eve, after a lifetime of just kind of hanging out together, that they were in fact in love with each other. But they were terrified to admit it to one another because they didn't want to blow the friendship. We were able to kind of do it in an elegant way, interwoven with the Christmas the scenery and stuff, and we figured, well, for these characters, if they can't tell each other that they love one another on Christmas Eve, the night the miracles happen, when can they?
Wow.
And it kind of resonated with people, kind of worked.
That's almost like a When Harry Met Sally story.
Very much.
Yeah.
It is. And when we wrote the song, we kind of wrote it with a duet in mind. So that first year, as I mentioned, we did it with Alyssa Bonagura, our co-writer, and she's just a fabulous talent. And then we redid it with Carney and Wendy. And that's when, to me, it really kind of clicked. It was really meant to be a double duet sort of thing. And when you hear it, it's just a very elegant song. And it sounds classic enough where it fits with White Christmas and Elvis's Blue Christmas, all your standards you're used to hearing.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't sound like we aimed it that way. Is it? We're not pandering to anybody. We can tell it's very sincere, and we didn't want to actually go down the road of so many other artists that making a Christmas record a cash grab. We didn't do that. We want to make a classic, and so we spent 2 years recording the record, doing it organically, and trying to put something together that people could listen to 30, 40, 50 years from now, and it would still feel like an old friend, and it wouldn't be dated at all.
Gunnar, how much do you mix up the traditional Christmas songs with your original stuff in this show coming up on December 14th?
Well, to be honest with you, this show is important for everybody to know. First, it's a lot more than what you think. It's a lot more than just a couple of guys up there singing Christmas songs.
Mm-hmm.
It's a real show. We have the unfair advantage of the adventures of Ozzie and Harriet, 435 episodes.
That's right.
Over 15 years to pull from. So we've got all this video. We've got these stories. We do a top five list of the most dangerous Christmas toys ever unleashed on an unsuspecting child population. We have a lot of fun.
Oh, I love it. Oh, that sounds like fun.
It is. It's a blast. And, you know, the important thing is at the very end, with after a lot of laughs, really cool music and such, and it's a dedicated Christmas show. It's not like some of these artists go out, they go, oh, we've got a Christmas show, and they do their normal show, and they tack on one Christmas song at the end. That's not what we did. This tells the story of three Nelson family Christmases over 100 years, and we wind up the show with the audience coming together with a rendition, all of us together, of Silent Night, and nobody leaves a stranger. You feel connected with the holiday, with the people that you love, with new friends that you've made, and it's family-friendly, of course, but it's got enough edge to it to keep everybody happy. It's a lot of fun, and I'm not just saying this because I'm the guy doing it. I'm just saying that we put it together from the sensibility of, man, if I went to a Christmas show, what would I hope to see that no one's delivered yet that would surprise me and make me laugh and make me feel connected with my friends and my family and my faith, and that's what we did.
It sounds like you've put a lot of work into it, so it sounds like a great time. We're visiting with Gunnar Nelson, of course, of the brother duet Nelson. He and Matthew are putting together Christmas with the Nelsons, Friday, December 14th, 6 p.m. at the Lodge at Port Arrowhead. It is going to be a blast. Gunnar, you've alluded to this. You come from TV and showbiz royalty. I mean, obviously, famous grandparents, Ozzy and Harriet. Your dad was Ricky. Mark Harmon, for goodness sakes, is your uncle. How big a deal was all that for you and your brother growing up?
Well, as far as the celebrity that we were surrounded by?
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of weird. It was very surreal. You know, up until I was like 6 or 7 years old, I thought it was totally normal for people to come up and ask your grandparents and your parents for autographs. It's just kind of like, it's kind of like what we knew. And when Matt and I were growing up, our dad was putting his Stone Canyon band together, like basically the first true country rock band, together in our room. They'd like push our beds out of the way and set up a drum set, and they would, you know, all the boys would come over and rehearse. That was our normal, you know, having a father that had an acoustic guitar in his hand all the time and was writing songs all the time. It was just kind of what our family did. And so to me, it really wasn't that big of a deal. It's just kind of what everybody did. And as I grew older, what I realized is, you know, unlike so many other careers that people could choose, doing what it is this family's done for over 100 years and trying to stand for something that, you know, is fun and uplifting and positive without being preachy. All of that, it's a very fine line that they drew. You know, it's kind of one of those things where you realize it's not just what they did. It's who they were. I mean, in a very general sense. If you think about Ozzy and Harriet, there's no way in the world those guys could have done a TV show as a real family together and kept it together as a real family for 14 and a half years.
It's true. Yeah.
If they were acting. They had to be more behaving than acting. And that's what they were. So if you grew up with the Adventures of Ozzy and Harriet, if you're from an older generation, that's really who they were. They didn't put on any airs at all. Grandpa Ozzy wrote, produced, directed, edited, and starred all 435 episodes. And at the same time, kept the family together. You know, our dad going out there and selling 280 million singles over his career and having the impact he had, it's just kind of like he needed to do it. There were things that he had to say. And he did. Unfortunately for Matthew and I, we grew up during a time when he was being his most creative, and he was writing those songs, and he was putting a brand new, first ever heard of country rock trip together. And that inspired me and Matthew. We started playing when we were 6, started playing professionally in the LA clubs when we were 12, got our first record deal at 19.
That's incredible.
And our first number one single by the time we were 22. It's just what Nelsons do. And all these years later, I cannot tell you, looking back, how blessed that we feel. All we ever wanted to do was make music, man. That's all we wanted to do. We wanted to get up on stage and play and sing and get a chance to show off the songs that came through us and that we've written. And here we are all these years later. I literally have gotten to live the dream. And I'm not saying every day is the easiest.
Right.
Because, you know, nowadays, with the industry being what it is, you know, it's a little challenging. Music is starting to become kind of background noise for a lot of kids and stuff like that. We kind of feel like we're carrying on the torch, and when people do come and see a show, they're inspired to learn how to play guitar, not just go out and buy a copy of Rock Band. You know, that's what we're here to do. Man, it's just great. At the end of every year, after being able to go out there and do all of the shows that we get to do, to put all that aside and put on a very different show with this Christmas show that has nothing to do with Ricky Remembered, Nelson, the Rock Band, anything. And get to do that, man. It is just such a gift that all the audiences are giving us. I mean, this is a show that we get to do, man. We don't have to do it, but we get to, and we're really well aware of that every night we do the show.
With your dad such a musical icon, was it always just assumed that you guys were going to go into music?
No, not at all. I mean, if you were to leave it up to my mom, she would have appreciated us doing anything other than being in the music industry. You know, their marriage did not work out.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, I think she blamed the music industry for being responsible for the demise of their relationship. So when we were growing up, man, she discouraged us like you wouldn't believe.
Right.
Anything other than being musicians. But, dude, I got to tell you something. The first memory I've got is sitting on an apple crate from the side of the stage watching my dad do his thing.
Right.
And, man, the second I saw him doing that and he was having a blast, the audience was getting off on it and all that stuff, I thought, man, I want to do that.
Right.
That's
right.
What I want to do. I never knew, as I was growing up, I never knew the how. I never really knew the when, but I knew the what. And when all my friends were graduating high school and going to college and doing their four-year thing and graduating from college still with zero idea of what it is they wanted to do or what they felt they were put here to do, at least I had true north in my compass.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had all those well-meaning friends going, oh, man, what are the odds? You're never going to do it, yada, 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 despite the famous parents. I mean, the odds are, you know, millions to one. And I always kind of pulled out, well, the odds of any of us being born are astronomical.
Right.
The fact that you were the fastest swimmer, oh, my God, you've already won, you know? So every week someone's going to go number one. It might as well be me. And that was what I always encanted. And, you know, fortunately, the planets aligned. And, you know, you can't really explain a lot of it. You do the best you can. And sometimes, you know, the sun shines on you, and you are the one that goes number one, and it works. So we all work for those moments. But the one thing that's different now, I mean, I was so outcome-focused when I was a kid, and I was so ego-driven. I mean, I wanted to prove all those well-meaning people wrong and the teachers that said I could never do it and yada, yada, yada.
Right.
I didn't really enjoy the ride when Nelson broke.
Mm.
And that's different now. I'm really enjoying the process of putting this all together, the discovery of writing these new songs for the new trip and stuff, and feeling that same kind of destiny that I felt when I put the first Nelson record together. You know, I always felt, man, no one's heard anything like this before, and it's really honest, and it's really very sincere. It's the core of who I am. It doesn't sound like I'm trying to be anybody else. I'm just trying to be me, and it's taken all these years to get back to that point where I'm realizing, man, this is what it's all about. It's about coming up with something new and being inspired, and man, if it hits, freaking great. And if it doesn't, it doesn't matter. I've already won.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't mean to sound trite, but I mean, sincerely, that's where it's coming from. And, you know, write a new song, or I record in my studio and stuff, and I've got it on my iPhone. No one's heard it before yet, but I know that they will. And I'm encouraged, because after all of these years, man, it's still fun making music.
You know, Gunnar, people sometimes say about the present time, whoa, it's not Ozzy and Harriet, or, you know, something like that. In other words, how times and attitudes have changed. Is it ever weird for you to hear that expression? Because, like, Ozzy and Harriet, they're my grandparents.
It is. You know, the thing is that the statement that really has become part of the vernacular here in the United States, you know, it ain't Ozzy and Harriet or an Ozzy and Harriet lifestyle or an Ozzy and Harriet neighborhood or whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it does harken back to a different time when people are a little more innocent and life was a little more innocent and things always seemed to kind of work out. But the difference with the Ozzy and Harriet show, one, it was a real family playing a real family. Okay, and they were able to do it for over 14 years, 14 and a half years, like I mentioned, 435 episodes. You look at some of these reality shows with real families these days.
There's nothing real about them.
Have you ever noticed that the families never seem to stay together?
Right.
People get divorced. Man, after two seasons, they're getting divorced. The kids aren't talking to one parent or another. It fractures. That's not what the Nelson family was all about. And what was also different about them, unlike the shows of the day, like Father Knows Best, where you had a patriarch in there going, well, kitten, this is what you've got to do, is like the dad had all the answers and he was very preachy and all this stuff, which was a turnoff to a whole generation of kids who watched those kinds of shows.
Mm-hmm.
Ozzy didn't do that. Ozzy positioned himself. He was the guy falling off the ladder. Ozzy was the one that didn't have it together.
Right.
Harriet had it together.
Right.
You know, she was a very strong
she was
character.
Sort of the rock.
She really was. And that was actually, especially back in the 50s, if you look at some of the joke manuals that people pick up on, like, you know, how to treat your husband and stuff from the 50s, they were real books back then.
Right, right.
It really went against the grain. Ozzy and Harriet were the first TV family to sleep in the same bed.
Yes.
And get past the censors.
Right, right.
You know, there were a lot of firsts. And Ozzy was able to do it without being preachy or talking down to anyone. Things just always seemed to work out in the end. And there were generations of people who grew up in fractured families that couldn't count on their own parents. Home life for them was really tough. We're talking about post-war America. We were all trying to find our feet and rebuild and do all that stuff. And Ozzy and Harriet were there for America at a time when there were like three television stations and a local. That's it. So when America tuned in to watch the Nelson family, they really, all of America tuned in, and they grew up with this family. They felt like they were a part of this family. And to me, when someone says, well, it ain't Ozzy and Harriet, you know what? It's a shame to me when I hear it. You're right. It is. It isn't Ozzy and Harriet anymore. It should be, and it can be, as long as you keep that alive in your heart, as long as family is the most important thing to you, as long as you are loyal to your friends, as long as you have something to stand for, as long as you believe in what it is you're doing and you work hard at it, man, those values, honestly, to me, is what made this country wonderful and what can make the world wonderful again. I don't think those are things that people should move away from. You know, we can all sit around thinking that, we're smarter than the generations before us. That may or may not be the case. But does it give us more peace? Does it make us more successful people? Are we happier? You know, to be honest with you, every now and again, I think the world needs a little Ozzy and Harriet.
Yeah, I would agree with you. You and Matthew were teenagers when you lost your dad, Ricky Nelson, in that tragic plane crash in 85. Can you share, Gunner, how it affected you and your brother?
Well, I mean, you know, honestly, anybody losing a parent is devastating, you know, and it's unfortunate. It's an unfortunate part of life. And Matt and I were very young. Our father was our hero, you know, to be honest with you. And it was very difficult on a couple of different levels. Losing him like we did. Matthew and I were actually, people don't know this, we were supposed to be on that plane. Our dad was on his way to a gig on New Year's Eve, and he was flying from Gunnersville, Alabama, to, on his private plane. He had a World War II era DC-3 propeller job, classic plane. It's like the vintage Mustang of airplanes. And he was on his way to a gig, and because it was New Year's Eve, Matthew and I just turned 18. We'd spent, you know, from my birthday in September all the way through to the end of the year. Our father, in a rare occasion, was not working. He was such a workaholic. Mm-hmm. He would do 300 dates a year. But for some reason, he wasn't working. And we spent all that time up until the time he died reconnecting. He invited us on that trip to join him because we'd never flown on the plane. You know, of course, his band was our second family. Those guys were awesome.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And at the last minute, he called me and Matthew, and he had changed his mind. And I don't know if they were having problems with the plane or not, but he said, look, you know, I'd love to spend New Year's Eve with you guys, but why don't you fly commercial to Dallas and meet me there? And we're like, well, Pop, you know, the whole point was to fly on the plane with you guys and do that whole thing. And you're going to be home in a couple of days. So, you know, we got some parties we can go to and stuff. Love you, but it's a little much just to go down for a one-off. And he said, okay, that's cool. And I'll see you in a couple of days. And of course, the plane incident happened. Mm. And it was, one of those things that you can't describe. It's really like when all of your certainty gets removed from your life. And, you know, back in that day, a lot of things were different. I mean, I've got three kids right now. And you know, I realize the kids these days are very different than they were when I was growing up. When you were 18 in my day, you were expected to be an adult.
Right.
You know, by the time you hit 18, you should be completely functioning and have it together, whether or not you went to college or not. I mean, we come from an era when the day you turned 16, you were at the DMV getting your license.
It's kind of in the late 20s now.
Yeah, I mean, kids aren't even doing that now. Kids are staying at home until they're 35, for crying out loud. Yeah. But back then, it was devastating. You know, those guys were really sweet guys. They really were. And, I mean, it's really important to note that, you know, they were on their way to play a show. You know, that's the one downside with what it is we do, is like anybody who travels for a living, whether you're a salesperson or, far lesser degree, of course, a soldier, with what you do, you, by the nature of what it is you do, the very definition of it, it causes you to be away from the people that you love for long periods of time. That's just the sacrifice that you make in order to make other people feel good and to do what it is you love to do. And that's what ultimately wound up taking our father's life and the life of everybody in the band. But the nobility in that is that he was on his way to entertain people, to make them happy.
Doing what he loved.
He felt he was born to do.
Yeah. Exactly.
He died with his boots on, you know? And we lose so many people in this line of work and have lost so many legends over the years to travel incidents, because that's the one thing that Matthew and I always say. You know, they don't pay us. Don't tell the promoters, of course. They don't pay us for the shows. That's not what we get paid for.
Yeah.
We get paid for the travel. We get paid for missing the school plays when your kids have them, the holidays, you know, all of that, the birthdays. That's what we get paid for. But we wouldn't have it any other way, because there's a siren song that keeps all of us, no matter who we're talking about and which generation, whether you're talking about my father, my father's father, that has kept us out there connecting with people that we otherwise wouldn't ever meet, that have been affected by what it is we do. And hopefully they've been affected in a positive way.
Right.
You know, it's a calling that we feel we have. And it's very sincere. Listen, I'm going to be honest with you, Kevin. There are far easier ways to make a living than being in the entertainment business. I'll tell you.
That's for sure.
You know, the illusion is money for nothing and chicks for free.
Right.
And we do whatever it is we can do to perpetuate that illusion, because it's nobody's business how hard it is. We do the opposite. We're not sitting here going, oh my gosh, it's so hard to be in the music business. We want people to forget that, because our job is to make them forget about their own lives for the 2 hours they come to Christmas with the Nelson.
You stand up there and make it look easy.
Well, you look, the point is to make it look easy. That's the point. The point is, you know, people come to the show. They forget about the person they've lost contact with, or the bill it is that they have to pay, or the fact that the plant is in threat of closing down. You know, we, for 2 hours, what we do is not only do we help them forget about that, but hopefully we can reconnect them with what is truly important in life, which is your family, your friends, and your loved ones. That's it. Everything else comes and goes. Everything else comes and goes. But as long as you stay connected with what is truly important, you will always be wealthy. You will always have family. You will never be alone. All of those things is something that the Nelson family has tried to remind people of for over 100 years. And we love that responsibility, that privilege to get to do that. Sincerely, we believe this stuff, Kevin. This is what it is we're all about. This is what we do. And going out and doing the show for everybody, man, there are peeps. You guys get it. You get the whole thing. You understand it. And that's why, man, in all the flyover states, you're the ones that get what the Nelson family has been doing forever. And we honor you for that. And we thank you for it. And our doing this Christmas show is just our little way of giving a little bit of that back.
It's quite a legacy. We're visiting with Gunnar Nelson of the brother musical team Nelson. They're going to be together at the Lodge at Port Arrowhead Friday, December 14th, 6 p.m. It's Christmas with the Nelsons. Gunnar, outside of the Christmas tour, what are you guys working on?
We've got a brand new project that's coming out in 2019 that we are really excited about, called Firstborn Sons. And Firstborn Sons is a country project, man.
Oh, wow.
Country mixed with Southern rock. It's very guitar-oriented. I want you to think Eagles with Joe Walsh.
Love them both. Okay.
Yeah, man. That's what we're doing. And we've been writing that project for about 15 years. 2019 is the year that we're going to be putting this out there. The business model is really simple, with technology being what it is. We are not releasing an album. We are actually releasing singles, and they're all going to be video singles, one a month for a year. So at the end of that year, everybody's going to have a whole album worth of material, both audio and visual. And we're going to chronicle the formation of the band, all the little shows that we start out doing in clubs all over the place, from the back of a minivan. We're going to from the beginning to hopefully building it up to being something awesome. But man, I'm biased, but the music is freaking great. It's great stuff. I'm really stoked about it.
Let me ask you something about your musical relationship with your brother. Is it like one of you does words and lyrics, one of you does music, you know, like the Lennon-McCartney thing, or how does that work with you guys?
Well, you know, I think when we first started out, Kevin, it was more like that, you know, only because we hadn't really found our feet yet, and we didn't really kind of realize who was stronger at one aspect of what it was we did than the other. You know, I am really driven far more by the creation of things than in the promotion of the things that I create. And definitely, I'd be much farther along as far as notoriety is concerned, and by the measure of success that the industry tends to have right now, you know, with your followers and your this and your that. I mean, I always found that pretty gauche, to be honest with you. I mean, we've never really kind of lived out loud as a family.
Right.
So to me, I'd rather be in my studio working on new stuff and then going out and performing it. Matthews felt very comfortable going to the movie openings and the industry events and all that stuff. He actually really enjoys that part of it, which I hate.
Right.
So, but both of them are very, very important, because it's like that whole thing, you know, if a tree falls in the forest and no one knows it falls, does it really matter, you know?
Right. It's true.
It's got to be a balance of the two. Now, as far as like creating things are concerned, when we first started out, it was really more like both of us in the same room at the same time playing a game of songwriting tennis back and forth, and then the songs would develop. It's far less than that now. We've got, you know, our own lives and responsibilities and kids and you know, life happens. And Matthew doesn't really spend a whole lot of time. He doesn't have a whole lot of time with a four-year-old to get together and do, like, songwriting sessions.
Right.
Like he used to be able to do. And my inspiration hits me between 10 o'clock at night and 4 in the morning.
Oh,
that's
wow.
When I'm working.
You're one of those guys.
Well, I am. I have to be, because real life happens during the day.
Right.
You know, so I've got three kids of my own, and, you know, I also have to do the business side of what we're doing and advancing shows and booking shows and doing all that. But when the phone stops ringing, when most humans are asleep, fortunately for me, it's just like Grandpa Ozzie. I mean, the guy wrote, produced, edited, directed, and starred in all 435 episodes of the show over 15 years. I found out after the fact the guy slept 3 hours a night, if he was lucky. I have the same genetic tendency as that Ozzie did. I don't require a lot of sleep, and that's a blessing for what it is I do. So, you know, great, I'll go to sleep at 4, and I'll get up at 7:30, 8 o'clock, and rinse and repeat. I do that every night, but it's cool. It allows me to be prolific. The downside of it is that Matthew is not with me when I'm doing that.
Right.
So most of the stuff for Firstborn Sons I've done on my own, and it's cool. And Matthew has this gift. It's kind of annoying to me sometimes, to be honest with it. And we laugh about it. Matthew has this wonderful ability to come in after I've done, after the song is freaking finished.
Right.
It's done. It's recorded. And he'll listen to it for the first time and go, you know, the title of the song should be this. And he's right.
It drives you crazy.
So I have to go back and record all the choruses again with reflecting the new title of the song and all that stuff. Right. Matthew will come in with a 10% change that makes the song.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way it works for the two of us. And I love that. It's really cool because, honestly, I'm not bothered when the stuff is streaming through me. I'm able to do a capture and get it all out and get it done the way I hear it, and then Brother Matt comes in knowing where I'm trying to go with the whole thing, and it's that last 10% that gets it from really good to magic, and that's what Matt and I do. He's comfortable in that role. I'm comfortable in it, and I'm not saying that every now and again we don't get to get together and do a song from scratch together, and that's a real pleasure. We've done two of those for Firstborn Sons in the last 6 months, and I love doing that, but I've done another 35 without him.
These are guys who clearly love what they do. They love where they come from. And you can see them Friday, December 14th, Christmas with the Nelsons, starring Matthew and Gunnar Nelson, 6 p.m. at the Lodge at Port Arrowhead. By the way, tickets $30 to $50. And there are VIP tables available as well. We have the link for you on our Wave Facebook page. Check it out. It's going to be a great time. Gunnar, I can't tell you what a thrill it was to have you on the show this morning, man. Thank you so much.
Kevin, hey, thank you so much. And Merry Christmas to all your listeners out there. And thank you sincerely from the bottom of our hearts for giving us the greatest job in the world for the last 100 years.
You'll find the Kevin Hilly Podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Audio Boom, Stitcher, and TuneIn. Subscribe, share, comment, and like. You can email Kevin, too, at kevinhilly@gmail.com. And, of course, he's on the air each day from 6 to 10 a.m. Central Time on 101.9 The Wave. Thanks for listening to the Kevin Hilly Podcast.